Okay, I want you to picture a scenario for me and be honest here, because I have a sneaking suspicion that,
Hey.
well, that pretty much everyone listening has been in this exact spot.
I'm already getting nervous. Where are we going with it?
Maybe even in like the last month or so, you're at a conference, a big, flashy industry summit. The
Okay.
production value is, through the roof. The lights are dim, music's pumping, and the coffee is. Well, the coffee's actually drinkable for once.
A miracle. Okay, I'm with you. The classic keynote high.
Exactly, the keynote high. You're sitting there, third row, on stage. There's a speaker who is just, absolutely crushing it. These incredible high-def slides behind them. And they're showing you the future of artificial intelligence. Agents booking your travel while you sleep, code writing itself, productivity gains of like 1,000% by next Tuesday.
It's intoxicating. You feel like you've just been handed the cheat codes your entire career.
The cheat codes, and you're scribbling notes furiously, thinking, this is it. This is the pivot point. You leave that room just buzzing. You feel like Iron Man putting on the suit for the first time. You're ready to take on the world. But then, fast forward.
Oh, let me guess. It's Monday morning.
It is Monday morning. The conference is over. You're back at your desk. The fluorescent lights are humming. You open your laptop, stare at that blinking cursor, and you realize you have absolutely no idea what to do.
That is the conference hangover.
Akko.
And it is so real. It's that massive, painful gap between I am inspired and I am actually implementing.
Yes.
And honestly, that specific gap is where most corporate AI initiatives just go to die.
And that gap, that abyss between the hype and the keyboard, is exactly what we're unpacking today. We are doing a deep dive into a really compelling article from justai.media.
Right. The title is From Trend to Transformation: Why Local Hands-on AI Education Matters More Than Ever.
It's a great title.
And I really love this piece because it isn't just, complaining about the hype cycle.
No.
It's diagnosing a real structural problem in how we learn this stuff. It argues that we are drowning in information. We're drowning in what they call parachuting experts, but we are starving for actual implementation.
So the mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. We're going to figure out why those big flashy summits, as fun as they are, might actually be setting you up to fail.
And why the solution, according to this source, isn't in Silicon Valley, but might actually be, well, right down the street.
In your own neighborhood, which is such a counterintuitive idea in a totally digital world. Okay, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
So let's start with the landscape this article is describing, because looking back at, 2025 and 2026, it feels like there has just been an explosion of AI education.
Explosion is definitely the right word. The source points out that AI isn't some niche interest anymore. It's everywhere.
Right.
They reference summits, workshops, SBDC-promoted events, specifically highlighting how these are popping up all over northern Colorado, which is where Just AI Media is based.
And look, I don't want to sound cynical. I love a good summit. I love the energy. But the author here makes a pretty sharp critique of them. They call them the spark.
Right. And to be clear, the article isn't saying the spark is bad. You need a spark to start a fire.
Of course.
These events are fantastic for explaining the what. They tell you, hey, search is changing or automation creates efficiency. That's the big picture. It's necessary context.
It's the 30,000-foot view. It gets the blood pumping.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the critique, and this is the line from the source that really stuck with me, is this: inspiration is everywhere. Implementation is rare.
Oof, that's a heavy line. Inspiration is everywhere. Implementation is rare.
It hits hard because it's true. I mean, think about it. The keynote speaker's job is to entertain and inspire you. Their job is not to make sure your specific business workflow functions on Tuesday morning.
Right.
So when the lights go up, the business owner is left asking, okay,
Right.
but how do I integrate this into my CRM? How do I write a policy for my staff?
It's like watching a cooking show where they present a perfect beef Wellington. It looks amazing. But then you're thrown into a kitchen with no recipe, dull knives, and you've never even chopped an onion.
That's a surprisingly perfect analogy.
You know the meal is possible, you just saw it, but you're probably just gonna burn the kitchen down.
And that leads to frustration. You know the potential exists, you just can't reach it. And the source argues that these national speakers, the ones who fly in, they deliver the why, but they rarely, if ever, deliver the manual.
Which brings us to this concept of the parachute. I thought this was such a vivid image in the text.
It frames the problem perfectly, doesn't it? The source compares outside groups and big-name speakers to paratroopers. They parachute in, drop some knowledge bombs, get everyone excited, collect their check, and then They're gone.
They are literally on a plane to the next city before you've even figured out how to log into the tool they recommended.
Precisely. And look, from their perspective, that's the business model. But for the business owner in Northern Colorado, or, I mean, anywhere, that leaves a huge void. And the article contrasts this parachute model with the value of being local.
Okay, but let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Uh-huh. We're talking about AI. It's digital. It lives in the cloud. Why does geography even matter?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right. I can hire the world's best expert from London or San Francisco and just zoom them in. Why does Just AI Media argue that local is actually better?
And the answer, according to the source, really comes down to two things, context and trust.
Okay, break that down for me. Start with context.
Okay, so context. A nonprofit in Northern Colorado has a completely different set of constraints and, you know, ethical concerns than a VC-backed tech startup in San Francisco.
Totally different worlds.
A parachute speaker usually gives the same canned speech to both of them.
Right. The standard AI is the future, get on board or get left behind speech.
Exactly. But a local educator, someone who is embedded in that community, they understand the specific mission of the people in the room. They know the local market. They know you're dealing with agricultural clients, not high-tech manufacturing.
So they can actually tailor the message.
It's more than the message. It's the implementation. They can say, hey, for your specific donors, this tool might feel too impersonal, so let's try this one instead. And then there's the second piece, trust.
Right.
The source argues that trust is built over years of showing up consistently, not just during one trendy summit.
That makes sense. I mean, if I'm going to let an AI system handle my customer data or write my emails, that's a huge risk.
It's a massive risk.
Yeah.
You're handing over the keys to your brand voice and your data privacy. If you hit a roadblock or if you have a crisis, oh no, the AI just hallucinated a fake legal precedent. Who do you call?
You can't call the keynote speaker. No, they're in Tokyo by now doing the same speech.
Exactly. The source argues you need someone who stays, someone who sits with you and builds systems that fit your reality. That is the Monday morning solution.
Okay, so let's transition to that Monday morning reality, because this is where the article shifts from just critiquing the problem to actually offering a solution. They call this the system.
This is the unsexy part. This is where we move beyond the hype cycle and actually get our hands dirty.
They list out a checklist of specific areas that need to be addressed. And looking at this list, it's not exactly the stuff you see on those flashy keynote slides.
No, it's not. It's the plumbing. But without the plumbing, the house isn't livable.
So let's walk through these, because I think this is where the real value lies for anyone listening. One of the first things they mention is building AI-ready content structures. Now pause there,
okay.
Because most people hear AI content and they think, oh, I'll just ask the chatbot to write me a blog post about marketing.
And that is the trap. That is the spark thinking.
Yeah.
Look, it wrote a poem. It wrote a blog.
Right. And then you post it and it just sounds generic.
So the source is talking about structure. Generating text is easy. Building a content structure means creating a repeatable workflow. It means you aren't just one-shotting a prompt.
So it's the difference between a magic trick and an industrial assembly line.
Exactly. It's about building a machine that produces quality, not just the slot machine that gives you random results.
Mm-hmm.
It involves defining your specific chains of thought for the AI or setting up templates. It's technical and it requires setup.
Okay, that leads right into the next one, which I think is probably the most overlooked, but maybe the most critical ethical policies, creating transparent guidelines.
Mm.
Be honest, how many small businesses actually have an AI policy in their handbook right now?
Very, very few.
Hey.
And it's dangerous.
Why? Is it just like legal mumbo jumbo?
No, it's about risk management. Imagine an employee takes your quarterly financial data confidential stuff and pastes it into a public free AI chatbot to ask for a summary.
Oof. And now that data is potentially used to train the model.
Exactly. You've just leaked proprietary info. Or imagine your marketing team uses AI to generate an image, but they don't realize it infringes on a copyright.
So the parachute speaker might say, use AI, it's great. But the hands-on educator says, okay, here's the policy document that prevents you from getting sued.
Precisely. One is a philosophy, the other is a safeguard. The source emphasizes that you need to actually write the policy down. That is implementation.
That is a huge distinction. Another one on the list that spoke to me, mostly because I hate doing it, is admin and communication, streamlining boring workflows.
This is the low-hanging fruit of AI. It's unglamorous. We're talking email sorting, calendar management, data entry.
The stuff that just sucks the soul out of your Monday.
Right. But here's the thing. Automating that stuff is harder than it looks. You have to teach the team to trust the calendar bot. You have to set up the API connections. You need someone to hold your hand while you set up the wires.
It's the stuff that doesn't look cool on Instagram, but makes your life actually livable.
100%. And it's often the first place businesses should start.
Now here's the big one. The one I think everyone is secretly or maybe openly afraid of. Preserving voice. The fear of sounding like a robot.
This is the massive concern for 2026. We've all gotten those emails. I hope this email finds you well in these unprecedented times.
It's like cardboard. It has no flavor.
It has no soul. And the source emphasizes that using AI tools without losing your unique brand voice is a specific skill. It's not automatic.
So how do you actually do that? How do you teach a machine to sound like me or like our brand?
Well, you can't just say, write this in a witty tone. It's too vague. You have to engage in what's called few-shot prompting. You have to feed the AI examples of your best writing, your best emails, your articles, and say, analyze this style. Now write the new piece matching that pattern.
So it's almost like training an apprentice. You show them your work and say, do it like this.
It is exactly like training an apprentice. And that requires patience. It requires iteration. Mm-hmm. A parachute expert isn't going to sit with you for 3 hours tweaking a prompt until it sounds just right.
But a local partner will.
They will. They'll sit there until you say, okay, that sounds like something I would actually say.
And that brings us back to that word integrity. If you sound like a bot, you lose trust.
And in a world flooded with AI content, being authentic is the new premium currency. If you sound human, you win.
Okay, two more on the list here. The future of search. This feels a bit technical. They talk about strengthening websites to adapt.
This is critical. We are seeing a huge shift from SEO search engine optimization to what some are calling AEO.
AEO.
Answer engine optimization.
Okay, unpack that. What's the difference?
Old search. Google gives you 10 blue links. You click one, you read. New search. You ask a question, and the AI reads 10 websites, synthesizes the information, and just tells you the answer.
So nobody clicks on my website anymore.
Not if your site isn't structured to feed those answers clearly to the AI. You'll disappear. The source frames this as strengthening your website. It's about structured data, clarity. Again, this is deep technical implementation.
You can't just get inspired to fix your site architecture.
You have to actually do the work. And finally, low-risk systems. Implementing repeatable processes you can trust.
That word trust, again. If you don't trust the AI to get it right, what do?
You double-check everything. You reread it 3 times. You hover over it.
And suddenly, you haven't saved any time at all. In fact, you've wasted time.
The AI paradox. Exactly. It takes longer to manage the bot than to do the work yourself. The local educator's job is to help you build a system reliable enough that you stop hovering.
So you can actually get to a point where you say, okay, the AI handles the first draft, and I know it'll be 90% good.
That's the goal. That takes testing and refining.
So if we look at this whole list, content structures, ethical policies, admin, voice, search, reliability, it really shifts the focus. It's moving from AI is a magic button to, well, what?
AI is infrastructure.
Infrastructure. That feels heavy.
It is, but that's the takeaway. Infrastructure isn't exciting. You don't hold a gala to celebrate a new sewer line. But without it, the city stops working.
Right.
Just AI Media is arguing that AI needs to be treated as infrastructure for your business, not a magic trick. It needs to be built, maintained, and secured.
I love that distinction. So we've got the problem, the solution, and the method. But I want to touch on the philosophy here for a minute, because Just AI Media seems to have a very specific worldview.
They do. And frankly, it's a refreshing one. The core belief stated in the article is AI isn't about replacing people. It's about empowering them.
We hear that a lot, human in the loop. But do they actually back it up?
I think they do, by positioning themselves as the bridge. They claim they were teaching AI with integrity and accessibility long before it was fashionable.
There's a line in the source where they distinguish between opening the door and walking through it.
Right. Other workshops open the door. They show you the room, the possibility. But hands-on educators help people walk through it. And walking through can be terrifying.
Especially when you're worried that what's on the other side is a robot that does your job better than you.
The fear of replacement is very real. Will this replace my writer, my admin, me? By focusing on empowerment, the source suggests the goal is to make the human better, faster, more creative. It's the Centaur model, half human, half machine.
A cyborg model.
Sure, if you want to get sci-fi about it. But the point is, the human is still the head. The human provides the intent, the ethics, the judgment. The AI provides the horsepower.
And they do admit, and I think this is important for balance, that we need both types of education. They aren't saying cancel all the conferences.
No, and they shouldn't. They call it a hybrid solution. We need the big picture inspiration. You need to get excited. You need to know what's coming down the pipeline.
You need the spark to start the engine.
Right. But you also need the steering wheel to actually go somewhere. And you need a mechanic who knows your specific car, not just cars in general.
Okay, let's bring this back to the listener. We've unpacked a lot here. The conference hangover, the parachute model, the nitty-gritty of infrastructure. If I'm listening to this and I'm feeling that overwhelm, what is the takeaway?
The takeaway is to shift your criteria for success. Stop judging your progress by how much you know about AI.
Okay.
Start judging it by what you've built with AI.
Oh, that's good. Don't tell me what you know. Show me what you built.
Exactly. Don't just look for the wow factor. Look for the how. Are you looking for someone to blow your mind with sci-fi predictions? Or are you looking for someone to help you write a data privacy policy? The source suggests true transformation comes from that unglamorous work.
It's the difference between watching a workout video on YouTube and actually going to the gym with a trainer who corrects your form.
One feels good in the moment. The other one actually changes your body.
And it seems like location, or at least that sense of a local connection, plays a bigger role than we might think in a global digital world.
That's the irony, isn't it? We're talking about technology that exists in the cloud, accessible from anywhere. It has no physical body. And yet this source makes a compelling case that the most critical component of adopting it is human connection, proximity.
It's a paradox. To master the machine, you need to double down on the human.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Which leads us to a pretty provocative thought to leave you with today. We live in an age where you can hire an expert from Tokyo, London, or New York instantly. You can collaborate with AI agents that don't even exist in the physical realm.
When the rubber meets the road.
Exactly. Why might your most valuable technology partner be the one you can actually sit down and have a coffee with in your own neighborhood?
In a world of infinite global connection, is it possible that local is actually the ultimate premium feature?
It's certainly something to think about next for your staring at a blank screen on a Monday morning. Indeed. That's it for this deep dive. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.